This being Shabbat Shuvah, the Shabbat of returning or repentance, I thought that I would just highlight some of the themes of the Tshuva literature. There's a large literature, of course, about Teshuvah in the Jewish tradition for us to think about over the next several days, and maybe even some of the themes will linger throughout the year. The first thing that I wanted to say is that we usually talk about sin in the Jewish tradition as being a chet. That's the most common term. And then people explain that it's really a term from archery and it means missing the mark. And that's true for many sins. That is, we try to do well, but we do badly. We fall short. A shortcoming in English is similar to the idea of chet. You don't quite get there. But there are other words for sin in the Jewish tradition as well. Pesha, avon. And not every sin is just a shortcoming. Some are more serious. And we as Jews know, as we look around the world today and through our history, that there are different ways in which human beings misbehave. Some of them are fairly benign. Some of them aren't so awful. Some of them are pretty awful and don't have to do only with missing the mark. They have to do with what is genuinely evil and genuinely bad in human nature. The reason that I mention this is that the tradition and the tshuva literature also assumes that we know the difference. That is, we know what is right and what is wrong. Yeah, there is confusion around the margins. We don't always know exactly, and we don't always know everything, but we have a basic internal sense of when we've done right and when others have done right. And the goal of tshuva, in part, is not so much that we achieve that sense, but that we keep ourselves from deceiving ourselves about it. Because it's very easy to forget, to hide, to excuse, to rationalize what we know inside is really wrong. It's one of the reasons why it's so much easier to see wrong in other people than it is in oneself, because we have a distorted view of our own actions, and a lot of the time of tshuva and the literature of tshuva is to encourage us to see honestly what it is that we do. Are we kind in order to have power over someone, or are we just kind? Is our inclination to pull away or to come close a real reflection of that relationship? Or is it in some way or another a strategy, a maneuver? Are we in fact relating to someone or manipulating someone? And all those sorts of interpersonal dynamics that exist in every relationship, those are the kinds of things that the tshuva literature and tshuva and talk about sin and redemption seek to help us understand. Remember that a korban, a sacrifice in the Jewish tradition, comes from the root karov, which means what? Close. Sin is distance, tshuva is closeness. That's why tshuva is called return. Sin puts you farther from God, tshuva brings you closer to God. But in order to understand that, you have to understand what it is that you're doing. And you know, of course, that Judaism divides sin into two different broad categories. There's ben adam l'chaveiro, there's between one person and another, and ben adam l'makom, between the individual and God. Sins between the individual and God are not necessarily sins between the individual and someone else. In other words, it is possible to do something that our tradition thinks is against God's wishes without hurting another person. Maybe you didn't say prayers, but it didn't hurt anyone around you. But the reverse is not true. A sin where you hurt another person is also a sin against God. Because every human being is created in God's image, and therefore, if you hurt a person, you also, in some sense, Intergab. The other part of the tshuva literature that now ought to be clear is that Judaism really does believe that people can change. This is a big discussion and a big argument, as you may know, among not only psychologists and historians, but among people. How often have you heard people say, nobody ever really changes. People don't change. That's antithetical to the tshuva literature and the idea of tshuva. It doesn't mean that you will walk out with an entirely different character. It doesn't mean that most of the structure of who you are doesn't stay intact day after day and year after year. But it does mean that Judaism believes that human beings can make significant and measurable changes in their lives. I think about Herzl, who was a dilettante and a writer, and all of a sudden became inflamed with the possibility of creating a Jewish state, and his life changed overnight. Or Reish Lakish in the Talmud, who was a thief and abandoned, and met Rabbi Yochanan, and it changed his life, and he became a great rabbi. We know that people undergo transformations and change their lives and redirect the same gifts and energy and talents that they had in one place to another. That presumes, of course, that we have free will and that we make choices, and that for all of the influences that may weigh upon us, our genetics, our environment, the people that influence us, the learning and training that we've had, in the end, there is what I spoke about the very first night, this nikudat habechira, a point of choice in which we decide what we do and who we will be. And that's the last point that I want to make about the tshuva literature, is it's about who you are, but it's almost always mediated, determined by what you do. That is, if you feel inside like you've changed, but you act the same way, you haven't done tshuva. Tshuva has to be reflected in the way you interact in the world. That's real tshuva. Otherwise, it may be a good feeling, and it may be a first step, because after all, it's not entirely separated how you feel and how you act. And Judaism has a large literature about interiority, what goes on inside of you. But ultimately, whatever goes on inside of you has to find its expression in the world. We have the choice. We're called to deeds. We understand that there are different gradations of sins and different kinds of sins, that the tradition provides a guide, that self-examination is critical in order to understand why we do what we do and how to change it, that we really do believe, in some ways, as Socrates said, that the unexamined life is not worth living, that we really do need to understand ourselves, and that tshuva and tefillah, that is, repentance and giving, charity, tefillah and prayer end up in tzedakah, in giving. That is, what you do and how you pray will be reflected, or rather, what you feel and how you pray will be reflected in what you do. The tshuva, repentance, and prayer will show in the world. So in this year, if we combine all those things, it's really very empowering. We have choices. We can make different choices. We can change our deeds. We can adjust our relationships, not only to God, but to other human beings. And the process reaches its peak now, but as the rabbis tell us, you can do tshuva every single day of your life. Remember that it says in Pirkei Avot that you should repent one day before you die. And when one of the rabbis says, well, how do you know where you're going to die? He says, you don't, which means that you must repent every day. Shabbat Shalom.